حضرت بن عبداللہ رضی اللہ عنہ قال قال رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, there's a حدیث, Allah is not merciful with those. There's a حدیث, the first portion I have recited, and it's a very famous حدیث. It is in Mishkat, narrated in Mishkat, and it is a very sensitive subject, a very touching subject. And in this subject and hadith, we need to ponder, we need to analyze and have fikr and worry. The first portion of the hadith which I mentioned, if we just ponder over this and analyze this and have fikr over this, that there's an announcement from Allah. And what a big announcement that Allah Ta'ala is making. A massive announcement. Allah is not merciful with those. Allah Ta'ala will not have mercy with that person, with those people. They are lost. They are not connected to the mercy of Allah, certain people. Allah is announcing that you will lose out from my mercy, from my rahmah. I will not have mercy on those people, on that person. And brothers, my friends, I will say that can there be a bigger punishment than this for a mu'min? That Allah Ta'ala's rahmah, mercy is removed from him, and from Allah Ta'ala an announcement is made that I will not have mercy on this person. Think for a few moments. May this not happen. May Allah not allow this happen to me, to you. And this is such a big statement which is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. This is not the case that it's a little matter or a statement from a justice or somebody here in the dunya. This is from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, who is the Lord of the universe, and nobody can question him or challenge him or say, Allah, how did you say this? There's no law in front of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala that can challenge Allah Ta'ala's system and his justice. Nobody can challenge. So if we think now that the whole of the situation of our success and benefit for the whole universe, for the whole world, for the whole planet earth, for the whole of mankind, for the abideen, the zahideen, take everybody in the world, everybody will rely on Allah Ta'ala's mercy for success. Everything hinges on Allah Ta'ala's rahmah. There's no man, doesn't matter how big a zahid he is or an abid, or he is the owner of thousands of deeds, can he say that due to my deeds, due to my amal, I will walk into paradise? Tell me. Can he say this? There's one thing though that can give success, that is Allah's rahmah. Nobody else has the resources or the means or the way to guarantee that I will go into paradise or to please Allah. There's nothing we have that can guarantee success except for the rahmah of Allah. And we will have to accept this. And if Allah Ta'ala says that I have Allah, if Allah says I have no mercy on those, then who can stand and say that I am guaranteed to go into paradise? Bring as many amal as you want. Bring as many sujood as you want, prostration. And bring as much as worship actions that you have implemented in your life. Bring them. There's a very famous event, and many times you will have heard this. And what a big point that Allah Ta'ala has given an example from within a hadith about the worship of one individual. And if Allah Ta'ala has given the example of somebody's worship, imagine his ibadah, his worship, his zuhud, and his piety, and his hadith, this narration is continuing until today. I will say that this is a selected person that Allah Ta'ala has given his example to mankind till the end of time. So there was a man from within Bani Israel, and he implemented a lot of worship. He did a lot of worship, a lot of good deeds. He used to go out into the wilderness, isolation, stop eating, reduce eating, drinking, comforts, leisure, luxury of the world for the sake of Allah. And everything he did was for Allah. He was beloved to Allah, and Allah gave him the opportunity to worship him. And he used to accept all of the opportunities that came by him. He wouldn't eat or drink, etc. He just loved Allah so much, and he went and ascended the mountain and worshipped there. And he was beloved to Allah. Allah liked his ibadah, his sujood, and his calling out to Allah, his tilawat, his recitation. Allah Ta'ala liked this. And Allah Ta'ala rewarded him for persevering and bearing the difficulties. So Allah Ta'ala allowed a pomegranate tree to grow in the mountain, in the wilderness next to him. Imagine this tree from paradise and the pomegranates that were growing on it, due to which one of those seeds from the one of those pomegranates was allowed enough to allow the stomach to fill. And Allah also allowed a fountain to gush forth next to that tree in the mountain, which had sweet water. This can't happen with one. If I sit down all night long and prostrate all night long, will the fountain gush forth from the earth next to me? Or will a tree come from paradise? No. Because there was no example similar to his. And Allah gave the example until today that his ibadah worship was very good, yet great ibadah. He was pious and he used to worship Allah all the time. And Allah said, don't worry, you keep on worshipping and I'll fulfill your needs. Allah allowed a pomegranate tree to grow. He ate pomegranates, drank the water, the sweet water. He worshipped Allah, he prostrated to Allah. And he continued along this way in his life. And the time came for him as well. Death came. And when the angel of death came to extract his ruh, his soul, he said, wait. Stop. He was so beloved to Allah that he even stopped the angel of death. He said, allow me some time that before I depart from this world, I can pray two units, two rak'ah, salah nafal. And the angel of death said that I came to you with this permission that I will give you the extra time, because I knew that you are close to Allah and you worship Allah. Imagine his status, this insan. Think, can anybody think here that he will not go into paradise, he will not be forgiven, Allah will not open the doors for him, there will not be palaces or mansions for him? Do we think this will not be the case? And we think today that I've prayed five times salah and that's it, everyone else is a disbeliever and I'm a believer and I'm the best. Astaghfirullah. Is there anyone who thinks like this? A lot of people think like this, that we will probably have this misconception, oh, I'm the best, I do ibadat, everyone else is just a sinner. Because when shaitan and nafs, this idol, enters into us, it makes us feel with a big fat ego that I'm the best and I'm the abid in this world and no one's as good as me. So when he passed away, when he was presented to Allah in the court of Allah, and Allah Ta'ala stood him there, and Allah Ta'ala liked and preferred what he did, and he was standing there, and Allah Ta'ala announced that which was going to come from Allah, that Allah Ta'ala, this is the basis of this hadith. So Allah Ta'ala said, go, due to my mercy, take him into paradise. Due to my rahmah, take him into paradise. You listening to what I'm saying? Allah Ta'ala said this to him. He said, due to my Allah's rahmah, even now I need Allah's rahmah, Allah's mercy. Look at insan, human being, his nafs and desires, kibr, because he's relying on deeds, worship. And we are severely in need of Allah's mercy. And today, we think that due to the connection and the sohbat of the pious elders, we learn the fikr, the worry of the akhirah, that nothing in this world, nothing we earn from this world will take us away from the fikr of the akhirah. But by sitting next to the walis of Allah, the pious people, and a person is amazed that they have nothing within them, no desires that they are proud of. They are not proud of anything. They're not proud of their ilm, their knowledge, their taqwa, their zuhud, their worship, the ibadat. They're not proud of these things. The walis of Allah, they have just one fikr. They say, we have nothing to our name, just fikr, fikr, worry. Fikr, fikr. And this doesn't come from words. Or if I give a speech or a lecture, will all of these things come into our lives? Fikr and worry for thereafter. You are listening, other people listening. Or if a new person comes and listens to what I'm saying, will the fikr of akhirah come into you? Or mercy come into you? Huh? This is information, communication. We listen and we should implement. This is the style of Islam. We listen, we should implement. So when Allah Ta'ala said that, take him due to my mercy into paradise, but he was a man, obviously, at the end of the day, he was a human being. When a man worships and he does dry ibadah, dry worship, this is the conclusion. So Allah Ta'ala said, is it? He's questioning my decision? Bring him back. Allah Ta'ala said, I am sending you with my mercy into paradise. And you're saying that you are going to paradise with your deeds? Then he says, Allah, where have my deeds gone? Allahu Akbar. Allah, where have my deeds? Those sujood, the prostration that I did all night long and I worshipped you. Allah says, bring him back. Bring him back. He came back. Allah Ta'ala said that I sent you into paradise. He said, yes, Allah. Allah said, okay. Now I will bring forth my justice. Take him into hellfire. You say, no, Allah, what is this? Allah Ta'ala says, yes. So I will put the scale of justice here. You have rejected my rahmah, mercy. Now let's weigh your deeds and account for your life. I will weigh and I will come on adl, on insaf, on justice. So let's start with your deeds. So let's take the eyes that I give you, the sight. So Allah Ta'ala will order, put his eyes and visibility into this scale. If he didn't have visibility and sight, he couldn't sit, he couldn't prostrate, he couldn't see, he couldn't grab the pomegranates, he couldn't remember me, he couldn't walk around. So put his sight, visibility into the scale and put his deeds on the other scale. And the deeds that were put on the scale, they could not overweigh his sight, his visibility, and the rights that were due to his sight. So Allah said, what else are you going to do? You can't even fulfill the rights of sight. And Allah said, Allah, Allah, forgive me. Please, for the sake of your rahmah, mercy, send me into paradise. He said, Allah said, do you understand now? Now go into paradise. So brothers, as I was saying, that this is a great example for us, that no individual should have this misconception and deceit that for some reason of his own actions, he will go into paradise, except for Allah Ta'ala's mercy. Do we understand this point now? Do we understand the words of the hadith now? La yarhamullah. La yarhamullah. That there will be no mercy from Allah to those. To which people? For which reason? So now I have to ask myself, where am I? Where do I stand? So Allah, why will you not send me, us, into paradise? Why will you not give us your mercy? Let's ask Allah. Let's ask our Rabb. The Allah says, not merciful with those who do not what? There's a question here. What's the reason that Allah will not show mercy? So the next portion of the hadith now. The next portion of the hadith, first make niyyah, intention. Let's remember this, revise this, that this is such a big point, my friends, that if we realize the reason that Allah does not have mercy on those, and this is the reason why Allah Ta'ala doesn't have mercy on those, then not even the foolish person will try to remove this. And the person who doesn't implement this reason now, he is the foolish person. Allah Ta'ala is telling us that for this reason I will not have mercy on you. For this reason I will not have mercy. For this reason I will not have rahmah on you. And Allah Ta'ala gives the reason. And if we cannot get to that reason, to that, for this reason Allah will not have mercy on me, then we would leave everything in the world, isn't it? And go first to this action. That let me attain Allah's rahmah. Let me become deserving of Allah's rahmah. What is the reason that Allah is saying that I will not have mercy on you and other people? Which worship action do I have to implement? What reason is it? What do I have to do? Will you do it? Will we do it? You won't do it? If we don't do it, then Allah Ta'ala says first that you will come to me like an empty box. Do as much as you want in the dunya. Work as much as hard as you want. Make as much effort as you want. But the success will only come due to one reason. And rahmah cannot come unless we implement this ibadah, this action of worship that we are about to discuss now. That's coming up in this hadith. We cannot earn Allah's mercy. But we say, Allah, we praise Allah for earning paradise. We keep the fast. And if you tell us to fast 24 hours, we'll keep the fast. If you say 48 hours fast, we'll keep the fast, Allah. And if we don't, we know we'll go into hellfire. If you instruct, Allah will do it. We will follow your orders. And zakah is 2.5%. If Allah says 50-50, we'll give that. If Allah says give total amount, we'll give that as well. Or will we keep it? Or will we usurp it? If we don't give the zakah that's due, we'll go into hellfire. Whatever Allah Ta'ala instructs, we have to do. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that the root cause of success is what? Allah Ta'ala's mercy. And to attain and Allah's mercy, Allah is prescribing to us a worship action. Then what will I do? Practice that or leave it? Will we not practice that deed? That will be the deed at the top of the list, and it will overwhelm all the other deeds. Why? Because this deed I need to practice to earn Allah's mercy, and only Allah's mercy can give me success in hereafter. Will we implement this deed? Inshallah. Inshallah, we have to. There's no negotiation. There's no leeway. I've read this hadith. I said, okay, that here we walk around and say that we are pious. I've done this and do this worship and ibadah and go in advance. Hajj and Umrah. And we make buy the ticket to go on Umrah and Hajj. But this is the action we have to do. Yes, imagine that if today we did not realize this, then what a big deception. We're living in darkness, in the shade. Now here's a point. That straightforward, easy solutions will give us benefit in the hereafter. And we'll say, Allah, we didn't know how to get you mercy. Allah will say, you knew how to run your shop, how to buy stock, how to apply the visa to the passport, and how to earn money in the other countries, how to get a job in Saudi Arabia. That we know about every country, we know about currency. If I ask you today that what's the rate of the dollar, everything you will explain to me. India, how much money did you send? What's the rate? What's the currency rate? But we don't know we know the exchange rate, but we don't know the way to get to Allah and how to get into paradise. And we will be given strict telling off on the Day of Judgment if we say to Allah on the Day of Judgment, Allah, I didn't know. Allah will say, why did I send you to the world? Here we cannot give such futile answers on the Day of Judgment. We came for this reason that we should know from morning till evening. The first thing we should do is ask ourselves. We should have information and a collection that Allah, to get to you, what is the path to get to paradise and to get close to you? We can't give the excuses in the Day of Judgment. We'll sit there big-headed. Allah, we didn't know. Just like we say today on the earth. Oh, I didn't know. I don't know how to practice. No, there will be Allah and His servant. No gap in between. Allah will say, call His hair. Speak and our hairs will speak and give the witness account. And our hair, our finger, our nails, our eyelashes, everything will give witness accounts against us, and we'll be amazed. Who is speaking? these parts of my body, they were with me. And they will stand as witnesses against us, testifying the actions we did and the bad things we did. So how can we challenge Allah and say we didn't know? So we can't make silly excuses and deception on the day of judgment. Allah, I didn't know. Everything else we know, how to live in the world, how to earn, and all the actions. Even a little child knows how, if you give him a phone, a smartphone in his hand, he will take out all of the functions and program solution. I saw a 2-year-old little kid, and there was a phone in his hand, and he was pressing the buttons, the apps, the icons with his finger, and he extracted programs and formulas and this and that. So we have the capacity and the capability. If we want to learn something, we'll learn everything from a young age. We have such knowledge and capacity and intellect. But what we should be doing, as soon as our eyes open, we should recognize Allah. We should have one worry consistently, the how do I please my Rabb? Allah Ta'ala, send me to the world. I've got understanding and awareness. And the first awareness and understanding that should have woken up in my life is the how do I please my Lord? How do I please my Lord? How do I please Allah? What is my maqsad, my objective? From the young age, our work should have started. From the time we were born, and we have the guts, we have the capacity, we have the capability. What did Hazrat Isa alayhi salam do? And he, subhanAllah, he was the Nabi of Allah, and he was the prophet, and he could speak, and Allah Ta'ala made him repeat this statement. But every child has this capability, that he comes with the recognition of his Lord. So some people state it and practice it, some don't. But we have the capacity, we have the capability. Everyone who is born a mu'min, we've come to this dunya, subhanAllah, for this objective. Everyone is born a believer, subhanAllah. So when a child, a baby comes to the world, he comes, he recognizes the Lord, he comes as a believer. But then the people around him hide the deen, don't show the deen. And Hazrat Nabi Isa was a prophet, and he spoke that I am the servant of Allah, I am the servant of Allah, the abid of Allah, Allah has given me a kitab, I will worship Allah. So from our young age, from the time we were babies, we have this understanding. It's not that we have to grow up, go to the maktab, learn, we'll be taught, we'll study. No, every baby has the awareness. And if the mother and the father rear the child correctly and nourish the child and show the child a tree, I've seen such kids, little kids, and the parents show him a tree and he'll be lost in the beauty of the tree, and you'll see the jalwa of Allah Ta'ala from the tree. Little kids I've seen, we've been given the development intellectually, spiritually, physically, and you'll see, and the parents say to the child, baby, our son, our daughter, this is the sign of Allah, the tree. Allah has made a beautiful tree, and the child will start to love that tree. See the signs of Allah in that tree, and see the beauty of that tree when the child is developed. And we see this, but we teach something else to our children. And the child won't even be a teenager, and we'll show him the shop, stand behind the till all day long, tuck-a-tuck, tuck-a-tuck, pressing the buttons all day long, world, dunya, at home and in the workplace, and in the dunya, this has happened, earn money, and we make him hafiz and alim, but inside there's total impurity and dirt, and love for the dunya, isn't it? I'll give you an example, right? So we don't know this action, this ibadah, until today, which is the foundation of our success. We don't know the reason that we'll earn Allah's mercy. We run after sujood and prostration and marks on our forehead for prostration. Will this be beneficial to us? No. Allah says, La yarhamallah. Now, what is this ibadah, this action that will earn Allah Ta'ala's mercy? Let's introduce this ibadah so we can go forward to the next steps. Do you understand now the importance of this ibadah? What is this point? That Allah says, La yarhamullah, ya arhamullah, la yarhamun nas. Allah Ta'ala announces clearly, Allah is not merciful with those people, with that person, not in this world or thereafter, with that individual, with that human being who does not show mercy to other people. Subhanallah, what a great worship deed, what a great action. That person who does not show mercy to other people, Allah will not show mercy to that person. And this is such a worship action, just like we've been given prayer 5 times a day. How many salah have we been given? 5 times salah. And this ibadah we can do at all times. All times, this worship action is all the time, at home, outside, society, at the shop, in your business. Always, every second, this ibadah is present, that there will always be a situation that I will have the custody of that action, that I can have mercy on somebody and earn paradise. Is this not the case? Just now, if we look at the examples in our lives, let's look in the example of our lives. Look today, let's look at today. So many chances will have come to us. So many chances that Allah Ta'ala says, An-nas, the human beings, the mankind, not mu'mins, not Muslims, Allah is saying any person, any religion, any color, any language, any country, any background, no differentiation, we are all the creation of Allah. Allah has given us an open playing field. Whoever comes to the world and a person who is merciful to anyone from mankind, then he will earn the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What a great, great advice and guidance for us. So should we do this worship action or not? Of course we should. So Allah says, I will not show mercy to those who don't show mercy. We shouldn't be fussy. We shouldn't complain. Allah is looking at everything of us. Rather, if we pray salah, we do wudu, and we come to go to the masjid to prostrate, and we have the prayer mat and imam sahib, and we have such caution, we give attention to this, and jama'ah, congregation, we come to pray salah. So what about this, about that? We should be cautious that whenever we have an opportunity to show mercy to somebody, to demonstrate mercy, to have mercy with somebody, in any form or shape, in any action, any day, what is rahm? What is mercy? That when somebody has a need and you can assist that person and fulfill his need, that is rahmah. You have the action in your custody that can fulfill the need of another person, have mercy on that person. And let me tell you another point about rahmah as we go along. Rahmah, mercy. There's a person, there's a man. Let's take an example. But for example, and he has committed an excess against you. He has oppressed you or committed a crime against you, okay? So now, if for example, he won't do rahmah with you, he's oppressed you. And you can see that he's oppressed you or done something bad against you. Let's go to another example. So I'll give you a clear example to make it easy to understand. There's a criminal. And he's presented in the high court. And his case is heard. The case goes to high court. And the justice, the judge reads his whole case. And the lawyers argue and debate, put forward the arguments. And the judge, he comes to a conclusion. He says, no, he's a criminal. And he's murdered somebody. Totally right. The witnesses are there. They've given the accounts and the judge has heard and seen, and he makes a decision that tomorrow he will be executed. But there's one point that remains. The judge has decided he will be executed tomorrow. But there's one thing that's left, that he can appeal on mercy. The criminal. And this is the law of the world, isn't it? That the day when the announcement's made about execution, we've heard this, that when the announcement's made and decisions made, but there's still a final line to be drawn, that the criminal can make an appeal on mercy, and the person who is the head of the state, if he accepts the rahmah, the appeal mercy, then he can still be saved. So it's realized here that rahmah, mercy, will be given to that person which proved that he's a criminal. So we can take as many crimes as we will to Allah, and we will say, Allah, your justice is still there. We are criminals. We accept, but we appeal for your mercy. Allah, we appeal for your mercy. Even then there will be a chance. Aha. Because this is the rule of Allah's mercy, and that's when Allah will have mercy on people. So Allah will ask one thing, that your appeal is accepted because you had mercy on one of my mankind members. Go into paradise. Aha, la yarham Allah, man yarham al-nas. That person who doesn't have mercy on other people, Allah will not show mercy to that person. And if I say I'm a mu'min, so if I say no, this means that we should only have mercy on believers or Muslims, no. Look at the countries, maybe there's only 1% Muslims or in the world, and does that mean we only show mercy to Muslims? No, we show mercy to the whole of mankind. Let's take we're in a country where there's only 1% Muslims and 99% are non-Muslims. We have an open field, we can have mercy to people. There are masjids everywhere for us to have mercy, opportunities everywhere, and we'll have an opportunity every day with mankind, with human beings, to show them mercy, demonstrate happiness and kindness and generosity. And Allah will say on the day of judgment, go, I will forgive you for all your sins and crimes, and I'll have mercy on you. For which reason? This one reason, no other reason. And then you shouldn't, if you have mercy on someone, you shouldn't expect a favor from him, or for him to repay the favor, or for him to give a gift. If you've had mercy on somebody for the sake of dunya, that he repays you, no. You say, wahid, one reason, I will have mercy for you today, I want to help you today. And on the day of judgment, I'll say, Allah, I have no deeds, Allah, have mercy on me, because I tried to have mercy on people in the world. Allah promises, innaka la tukhliful mi'ad. If Allah promises something, He fulfills the promise according to His promise, that totally I did promise you, and all your sins I hide, I put behind the veil. And for this one reason, that you had rahmah, mercy on this one person, and you forgave him for his excesses, or you forgot his mistakes, or you helped him, had mercy for him, you assisted him in his time of need, go, I take you and I send you into paradise, Allah says, subhanallah. So should we do this ibadah or not? We should be careful on this point. Now another point we need to listen to, a third point. That ibadah, this worship action, is not easy, having mercy on others. Tell me, is it easy? Is it easy? That if, for example, a Munala sahab or an Imam sahab, today you have a beard, it's white beard, you're old age, you're sitting down. Let's rewind some years or decades, your mother, your father, your teacher, if they did not teach you salah, would you have prayed salah? Would you have prayed salah? And mashallah, your parents taught you Surah Fatiha, Surah Ikhlas, and salah, and prayer, and sujood, and prostration. Somebody would have taught you, your mother, your father, Imam Sahib, Mulana Sahib. Somebody would have prepared and taught you and nurtured you and given you that guidance. And if we don't know, then we look for the education and guidance. What is a madrasa? When a child is born, first and foremost, we say, oh, teach him salah. We say this, don't we? Teach him salah. Why? because that desire is there that if my child doesn't learn how to praise Allah, then he'll be grabbed tomorrow. He'll be going to Jahannam. He'll go into hellfire. So we have to learn this, isn't it? So where is this ibadah? Mercy. Showing mercy to other people. Allahu Akbar. Where is this taught? Allahu Akbar. This is a great worship that we were taught when we were young. Prayer, salah, Quran. So where's the preparation? Where are the resources to teach people how to have mercy? That if we don't learn how to worship, if we don't learn salah, then how would we have come to the masjid today if we didn't know how to pray? We learnt, that's why we come to the masjid, to pray. So if you haven't learnt to have mercy on others, then how will you have mercy on other people? The salah, the prayer that we've learnt, alhamdulillah, we've seen the actions, we've studied in the book, and the Mulana Sahib taught us the rules and the principles, so we prayed after that. So to learn mercy, to have mercy on other people, we don't need to learn this from books. We don't need the dars, we don't need the speech. To learn mercy for others, we need one thing, and that one thing is to clean our hearts. And this is called tasawwuf. The subject of tasawwuf in Islam, tazkiyah. Which person in the world can say today? And today we realize the statement of Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullahi, that action of tasawwuf, to learn tasawwuf and implement tasawwuf, is fardain. Fard on every individual. Don't think it's a small thing. Don't think this is piri, muridi, some group of the Sufis. And don't think, oh, I'm bayah, I've pledged allegiance. Oh, give bayah to my child. Or give allegiance to my child. We made a game out of tasawwuf today, this beautiful subject that comes from Rasulullah Sallam of purification and tazkiyah and cleansing the nafs and soul. We've made this a culture today, and habit, like a system where we've made a game out of it and a joke out of it, and shaitan has infected this, and he's sitting on this road, because this road and path of tasawwuf that takes us to Allah, shaitan has sat on this path and he's taken out evil into this action and wrong actions and innovation and bid'at, and put such bad thoughts into the minds of people that the tasawwuf is piri, muridi, this is the sheikh and the jamaat, and they do actions against Islam, and this isn't tazkiyah. Allahu Akbar. People have bad feelings and thoughts about the tasawwuf. One person, Subhanahu wa Hakim al Ummat, said it's fardain for every Muslim to follow, implement the tasawwuf to purify his heart. If we do not condition our soul, our nafs and our heart, then rahmah cannot come into our hearts, and we cannot demonstrate mercy to others. Because rahmah, where does it come? Rahmah descends into the heart. And this ibadah, worship action of having mercy for other people, will emanate from the heart. And how many people strive and make effort to learn this path and subject of Islam? How many people want to meet Allah? And how many walis of Allah teach this? This is the question, isn't it? How many walis of Allah, that when we go to the wali with this knee, Allah, I want to be close to you. And we say to the sheikh that I want to be close to Allah, I've come for my tazkiyah. Then he just grabs your hand, recites the kalima. And I say, oh, I've got a link with this sheikh. And he says, I've got a link with you. And that's it, the end of the day. And no more guidance and coaching after that. No tarbiyat. And we don't know, oh, I'm bayah with this sheikh. And what are we looking for? That we want to find the biggest sheikh, so that tomorrow I stand and say, Allah, I had a link with this sheikh. Or I tell other people in the world, I had a link with the sheikh. Even if I'm benefiting from him, not, I don't look at this, I don't care. How can I benefit from a teacher who's thousands of miles away from me? So many miles away from, look where he is and look where I'm. Which environment he's in, which environment I'm in, which culture society he's in, and which society I'm in. Either I'm going to him to pass some time, or he comes and passes time with me. There's no connection. We don't spend time together. I found up, Hazrat, I'm your mureed. Who? Remember you came many decades ago, years ago? Yeah, okay, how are you? Okay, fine, yes, okay. Assalamu alaikum, carry on. What kind of tasawwuf is this? Is this how we learn ibadah? This is such a big ibadah, having mercy on other people. Will we demonstrate? Will we learn like this? Tell me, that have we ever learnt ibadah like this? Does Quran come so easy to us? Does tafsir come so easy? We have to spend 7-8 years to become an alim in an institute, and even then we have not studied and read all of the kitabs. Even then we're not fully graduated with the full knowledge. Many kitabs are not completed at a stage, even after 8 years of struggle and striving. Tell me. So we learn Quran, Hadith and prayer. We make so much effort. And the reason for the success in thereafter, rahmah, mercy, should we not go to the khanqah? Should we not make a connection with the wali of Allah and make effort and take his prescription and his guidance and work on it? We think this is piri muridi? We think this is a game? Oh, look at my son. Please give him bayah. Or Hazrat gave me a very severe reminder that how, and he gave me the principles of how to give bayah to people. That if these conditions are not met, then don't give him bayah and don't teach him dhikr of Allah. That we bring children to take bayah with the sheikh. We bring people who don't have understanding, awareness. Oh, this is my child. Oh, he doesn't know anything about Islam. Please just focus on him. Give rahmah to him. Or give him a sheet, a tracking sheet for the deed, so he can be corrected. Allahu Akbar. My heart feels sometimes people don't appreciate this tasawwuf and deen. If I had not spent time in sohbat of my sheikh, then maybe I would have been crazy with anger.
And maybe I would have showed that person, but Allah Ta'ala has taken my nafs and my ego out, that we have to have humility and show balance and patience. Allahu Akbar. That today, such a great subject and ilm and knowledge, for example, if you go to a mufassir and commentary and go and criticize him for his tafsir, and you criticize him and you interrogate him, will you not have anger? Then how can these people speak about this ilm and knowledge, and they're challenging me when they don't have no knowledge? And so easily today we speak against tasawwuf. We don't understand tasawwuf, how to purify our hearts and our ego and get close to Allah. Let's fear Allah for the sake of Allah. Fear that day that will come tomorrow, that Allah will ask me and you, that why did you not learn this ilm that should have taken you to my nearness? Today you are standing naked in front of me, Allah will say, and in the world you were playing games and challenging me. You didn't understand what was tasawwuf. Did you not understand what was rahmah, mercy, and that only rahmah, mercy on the human beings would have earned to you Allah's mercy on the day of judgment? And we cannot learn mercy through speeches or books, through lectures. Even if the biggest speaker or alim scholar comes and speaks to us for 3 hours, I will say openly today and challenge on this prayer mat that never will mercy enter into our hearts. Yes, but if we go to that ustad, the teacher who is trained and who has permission to nurture our hearts and spiritually coach us and guide us, after 3 minutes we will learn mercy of Allah, and we will learn how to have mercy to the people of the world and to mankind, and this ibadah will come into my heart after 3 minutes, and this is called tazkiyah. Tasawwuf. And we think tasawwuf is dhikr, just learn dhikr from the sheikh, and this is a group of Sufi people who follow tasawwuf and they do dhikr like this, and they recite this much, and they recite this many beads, and this has become a game. We think dhikr is a culture or bid'ah, innovation, peed, murid, silsula, stories, order, spiritual orders. So many cultures have come today, so many habits and customs, and people say, oh no, leave tasawwuf, I'm not even going to go next to it, I'm not going to follow this path. And today, so many people in this area will say, oh, these are innovators, they're like Brelwi, or they're this and that. So thousands of people say, thousands of things. Nobody comes in. They're scared. They're scared of my name. They say, oh, no, 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 go there, don't go there. He makes people dance. He's an innovator. I met a person in park stores. You know park stores near here, that sometimes I go there for shopping, and I met a brother there. And he didn't know who I was by name for some time. And my habit is that I try to make friendship with everybody. So mashallah, I used to go there, alhamdulillah, regularly by shopping. And he lives here, nearby, the brother. And where I go for shopping, I'd make friendship with everybody. We have a chat, a discussion. I have links with everybody, alhamdulillah. Good relations. And I had good relations with him, friendship. And I had we knew each other. And he said, Mawlana Sahab, how are you? And he used to give me this and that. And when dhikr was about to start here, he had respect, mashallah. And when dhikr was about to start here, and we would have made the announcements, or there would have been an advert. And then he spoke to me that day, and I was speaking to him that day, and I didn't know that he came for dhikr. And I said to him, you know, in your area today, I heard that in Makki Masjid dhikr will start today and you pray salah there. He said, yeah, I've heard. I said, who is coming? Just by joking, I thought maybe he knows who's coming or who's going to host the dhikr. And he said a weird thing in response. He said, I don't know this man, Asif Hussain Farooqi Sahib Naqshbandi. I said, let's test him now. Let's investigate. What does he know? That who is Asif Hussain? What does Asif Hussain Farooqi do? Let me ask him. What crime does he commit? The way he said that this man's coming. I'm telling you the truth about this event that occurred. We had this discussion. He said, I've heard that, I don't know what he does. I don't know what he is. What does he do? Dhikr. I said, will you go? He said, no. I said, why? He said, because I've heard that people dance there. He used to be in Manchester. He used to do this there. And he's coming. He's going to teach this. I said, is this what he does? And he said, yeah, I don't know why he's coming, what dhikr he's going to teach. I said, go there and just learn. He said, no. Why should I go there? What's the point of going there? What am I going to learn there? I said, huh? I said, that man. For example, I said, if somebody meets you for 2 years, and you know him for 2 years, and I said, what kind of person will he be if he meets you for 2 years and you know him and he's your friend? And if I meet you for 2 years, what will you call me? And he said, I will say, mashallah, you're a good person. I know you well. I said, do I dance? If I tell you I dance, you say, oh, astaghfirullah. He laughed and said, how can you say this? I will never accept you to us. I said, I am that Asif Hussain Farooqi. Oh, from top to bottom, he sweated at that moment. I said, I'm that same man, that same person who's not capable. And you are saying yourself that you have a link with me for 2 years due to this shop. I come shopping, I know you, and you've not seen any action in me that's negative. And today I'm going to host dhikr, then you're saying that I'm going to dance there and I'm going to do this and that. So my brothers, what is this today? This is shaitan who promised, and he requested Allah that I will sit on that path. That path that people will be traveling on to get close to you, and I will not let them succeed on that path. That path that people will go on, I will not allow them to succeed. I will sit on that path, that journey. I won't let them go. An obstacle will make, and we don't come, we don't sit, we don't listen, we don't implement. Brothers, that some brothers who sit with me and you hear to the discussions, are these words not different and unique to other things we hear? You will hear the speeches and everything. But what do we discuss here? that this is the fikr-e akhirah, fikr of the hereafter. I don't think I consider myself a sheikh or a peer or a pious person or a big man. My hazrat, my sheikh, gave me an order and an instruction to go and do tabligh, propagate the deen. He instructed me to go on every square inch, go and teach the dhikr of Allah and teach people deen and spread the deen, the true deen. And this is deen, isn't it? That meet and introduce people to Allah. So the effort that I've made on you, my Hazrat said, you go and teach people and make effort on them. And this is the da'wah we do. Openly. And no action of mine. Is there anything I do against Sharia? Come to me if I do something against Sharia or against Allah's principles, and I will leave that action. Alhamdulillah, there's no problem, no hesitation. If an alim, a scholar comes and says to me that this is against Sharia, or this hadith that you said, this is against the Sharia, Ammana wa sadaqna, we hear, accept and we believe and we'll practice. But until today, nobody's come and said to me that I'm doing wrong or saying wrong. Oh, I've done wrong. Ulama akram, mashallah, the scholars are here. There's khatib, there's speakers, there's imams here. Big people, mashallah, big shot scholars. And I'm like the dust on their slippers. And this is their mercy that they come and give us their presence and honor of their presence. We will sit there, khatibs, there imams, there scholars here who listen. They have the knowledge, and this is their mercy and their karam that they come and they grace this gathering with their honorable presence. Alhamdulillah, we do our islah through their presence. We do our rectification through the presence. What I'm trying to say is that the silsila, the salasil, the spiritual orders and series of the sheikhs going back to Rasulullah, we should learn from this the purification of the heart and get close to Allah. And many people do this about in the world. And our ummah today, the nation of the Muslims, is drowned today and is essential, desperate in need of this tasawwuf and rectification. And today there's darkness and sin in our ummah. And today the biggest sin in our ummah is dhulam. We don't give the rights due to our families, go to the village. After the parents pass away, the sisters are not given their rights, their land, their property, their assets. The wives are not given their rights, and the sisters, the brothers take their assets and their money away. And they say, oh, they're married, have gone to their homes. And we do haram. And halal has been made haram, and hazaram has been made halal, and we've changed the sharia of Allah. We have changed and altered the sharia of Allah. And we've forgotten what is marriage, what is getting married. We don't know how to implement a walima. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam demonstrated 3-4 different techniques of how to do walima. And from the milk, the glass of milk, Rasulullah sallam celebrated the walima. As Aisha Sadiqa radiallahu anha, the mother of the believers. And what a great wedding. What was the walima? One glass of milk he had that he could share with everybody. And it wasn't that he couldn't afford. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so generous that the mountains could have become gold for him. He had so many resources. And he gave one example one day of sacrificing animals. He sacrificed 100 camels one day. No human being today, no believer, will sacrifice 100 camels. Even a king who has the capability won't do this, because Rasulullah demonstrated, I'm not poor, I have the resources, I have the means and the funds, but I prefer to stay with the poor people, so that I will have the link with the poor people who are the lowest in society. That I did not become a prophet for the kings. I gave the demonstration and I gave the company to the people in the lowest circle of society, so that they would have the confidence and bring about the deen. But he had the capacity, he had the capability and the resources and the money. He sacrificed 100 camels, and mashallah, he sacrificed his life for us. What a prophet, what a nabi, who spent his whole life and every effort and sinew he gave for us. And he celebrated the walima with a glass of milk. He didn't have more than that to share with people. And today we have walima, kebab, shami kebab, dishes and food and delicacies and comfort, and the place where nikah is done. And nikah today, the ceremony, it takes so long. A man has to sit in a nikah. And the other day I enjoyed the nikah. I don't normally sit in the nikah, I say you the truth, and it is such a great action and implementation. But a man's legs get tired, you have to sit there. We've extended the ceremony, people are trouble, that so long it takes, and people get fed up, speeches and so much clamor and noise. I saw a walima, I witnessed it, a brother who last Saturday I was invited, and Maulana Sahib was there, and he came and he presented the walima and he read the nikah, and just within 10 minutes everyone was free, and I was happy. Subhanallah, I thought it's going to be a full program, it's going to take long. And after Maghrib, it was after Asr, the walima, I thought after Maghrib I'm going to leave. But I knew him, he gave me a special invitation. Otherwise I don't sit normally, I can't sit, I run, I stay away from the gathering of the nikah, because it takes so long nowadays. And he gave me an invitation. I said, it's impossible, I break his heart. I said, please remember. So I prepared myself before Asr, and I put my libas on clean, and I went for Asr. Then I'm going to stay for the nikah until Maghrib, and after that I have to go to zikr. And I was tired mentally, and I went there, mashallah, after 10 minutes the nikah was finished. Subhanallah, quickly I was free, and I went home and I started my muamulat. So what is this? What's happened to our ummah? The reason that we have left that deen that we attain and earn from the khankas, that we learn from the walis of Allah, we have left that dars. It's not in our life. It's not there. It's not within the insan today. So who should we go to for guidance? So when Hazrat Ji, my Shaykh, passed away, when he departed from this world, and I said this, that after today, the walayat is finished. The walis of Allah, there's no wali wala, true wali wala left. I said that there's just rijal and drought now. And there's just drama and play now. And I said, he is the final wali of his time. And most definitely this happened, that just before Hazrat passed away, in the Kaaba, Baytullah in Makkah, a wali of Allah, a student, he saw a dream that the minar was dropping. And Hazrat was there. And he said to Hazrat, he was a murid, a student, a khalis, pure, sincere murid. And he said, Hazrat, that I was in Maraqba with you doing dhikr, and I saw the minars of the masjid of Haram Sharif, they're falling. And Hazrat smiled and said, such a wali is about to pass away that we will not be able to compensate for his loss. SubhanAllah, very soon a wali wala will pass away and no compensation will be there for his loss of his company. Brothers, the walis of Allah are great personalities. Allah sends such walis after decades and decades, but we don't recognize them. We don't attain hiranis. We think it's piri, muridi, or dhikr, or a culture, or a tradition, or give bayah to this child. Oh, my son doesn't go to school, please give bayah to him. To give a solution. We think this is a solution for the world problems. Oh, there's a fight, quarrel in our house. Me and husband and wife, we quarrel. Please give bayah to us. Oh, my business doesn't run. Or give bayah to this person. Oh, he's very naughty, this child. Please give bayah to him. Allahu Akbar. Is this a game? Is this some sort of drama? I don't understand that. What have people made this line, this subject of tasawwuf? We're playing with this subject of tasawwuf that Allah Ta'ala has given to us. Purification of the heart and the soul and the nafs. It's fard on us, and we don't learn this. So us few people, there are four or five people who have come towards this silsila, take this silsila seriously, do ibadah properly, and earn and learn this ibadah of giving mercy to mankind. We need to understand this is a very in-depth subject, and we could spend so long and speak about it, but let's at least understand this today, that Allah will not have mercy to those people who do not have mercy to mankind. So let's grab this deed today and focus on our hearts, that whether rahmah and mercy other people don't show to me, but I'm going to have rahmah and mercy on people. Where I can, I'm going to forgive people at home, wife, brother, sister, relatives, relations, friends, acquaintances, whoever, any human being in the world. Don't be arrogant and stubborn. Who do we forgive? Everyone in the world for the sake of the hereafter. And this is a big deed, and I want to earn paradise, even if I'm wretched and cursed in the world, but I don't care. I want to please my Lord. May Allah Ta'ala give all of us the tawfiq. Ameen.